So I'm just going to quickly, and I mean very quickly, from 100,000 feet, for those that have never had any exposure to the concepts, they are basically, if you could remove the second and ninth concept off the tradition shade, they are basically an expansion of those two principles specifically. How do we carry out that work? And I would tell you, it is a real, somebody said before, like taking someone through, what'd you say, the traditions without doing AA Comes of Age is like taking them through the steps without going through the big book? Okay. Taking someone through the concepts without going through the conference charter and AA Comes of Age is a complete waste of time. You need to know the history that got Bill to 1961, to when the concepts were published. What got us there? And when you look at the traditions in 1946, adopted in 1950, and then look at where we are sitting right now. We're in the city where AA came of age. What? It's like 7 or 8 miles from here is where the fellowship was turned over to the fellowship from where we're sitting right now, and where we'll come back and celebrate in 2030 when the International Convention comes to St. Louis, which is amazing to me that we're going to come back to the city where AA came of age. And but that conference charter is basically the Emancipation Proclamation. It's our Declaration of Independence from Bill and the early founders and trustees that said no longer do you make the decisions for Alcoholics Anonymous. We've had this thing called the General Service Conference as a test for 4 years, from 1951 to 55, and now it's July of 1955, and the groups are going to now be called what AA Comes of Age calls the permanent successors to the founders, that the groups now make the decisions for Alcoholics Anonymous. The way the groups carry that out is first through the first two concepts. The first concept is very clear. Final responsibility and ultimate authority for AA World Services should always reside in the collective conscience of the whole fellowship. But how do you do that with the whole fellowship? And that's where it goes to concept two. The General Service Conference of AA has become, for nearly every practical purpose, the active voice and effective conscience of our whole society. In other words, if your group does not have a GSR that is active, you have decided to not care about AA's future. When I hear people complain about AA or what happened 5 years ago, oh my God, they took this story out of the big book. Oh my God, they changed this pamphlet. My first question to somebody is your group connected to AA as a whole? Because if it's not, you've abdicated that responsibility. You've said you don't care. The only way to carry that out is through concept two of having an active GSR that's participating at the district, that's participating. You know, the third concept, to ensure effective leadership, we should endow each element of AA, the conference, the General Service Board, and its service corporations, staffs, committees, and executives, with a traditional right of decision. Most people argue about this, that it's about the decisions I need to make, like when I was chair of AA World Services. The most important right of decision in Alcoholics Anonymous is who we elect to serve us. Because if that mistake is wrong, it has devastating effects. If you elect the wrong GSR, you get what you deserve. If you just accept that your GSR doesn't go to assemblies and district meetings, your group has given up its right to participate. If we don't elect the best people to be delegates, to hold the boards accountable and to ask the hard questions, we might as well not even waste the money to send someone to New York. It's the most important right of decision. Now, if you're a trusted servant and you use the right of decision, the most important thing about that right of decision is your obligation to disclose. That you don't get to keep it secret. Whether you're a DCM, an area chair, a group chair, maybe in between when you meet, you can take action. But you have to report back on it right away. You have to let them know you took that action. Concept four and our traditional right of participation is basically set up to make sure that if we expect and are going to hold you responsible for something, that we let you participate in the decision-making process. The GSO staff are probably the best example of this. For 365 days a year, they're employees. They sign the back of their paychecks. They take direction from GSO management. But for 7 days a year at the General Service Conference, the GSO staff are equal to the area delegates and the trustees. In fact, the bylaws of the General Service Board say every voting member of the General Service Conference shall be referred to as a delegate, meaning there's area delegates, trustee delegates, staff delegates. Like for that week at the General Service Conference, we're all equal. Because when the founders handed over control to the groups and we exercised that authority through electing a delegate for each area, once a year they get together for 1 week, which will happen in a couple of weeks now. And people, every group should know what's on that agenda right now. It's been out since February. There's nothing surprising there. Tradition five is the traditional right of appeal. Concept. Is the traditional right of appeal and minority opinion. It's taken out of context all the time. It's supposed to be used for a grave concerns. Not every single time you don't like the way something went. I exercised it once in 8 years while serving as a director and trustee. The general manager had decided that we were going to sublet space to the National Council on Alcoholism and Drug Addiction. And to me, even though we were going to give them a tenant contract for their space, would we really want that organization renting space in our space, using the same copy machines as us and everything else? To me, that was a grave concern. But we guarantee that, and we guarantee it for one reason. It is not to make sure that we don't make a mistake. The only reason we guarantee the right of appeal is for tradition one, our unity, to make sure that even those on the minority side know that we consider unity so important, they get to speak last. We're going to give them the last opportunity if they think we really made a mistake. Concept six, the charter and bylaws of the General Service Board are legal instruments empowering the trustees to manage and control World Service affairs. The conference charter is not a legal document. It relies upon tradition and the AA purse for final effectiveness. It's very hard. I could do a 2-day workshop on the legal structure of Alcoholics Anonymous. But the General Service Conference is not a legal entity. The delegates are not a legal entity. The conference votes spiritually what they want the trustees to do. And if more than 2/3 of the conference votes that way, the trustees in that conference charter have agreed that they're going to do that. And they've never turned their back on that. There is somewhat of a myth in AA that we're not a business. We absolutely, under the definition of business, are a business. There is no doubt about it. I think people don't like the word business because in our world, the only businesses that we read about are the unethical and dishonest ones. The Enrons of the world. The global crossings of the world. But business is supposed to be ethical, honest, transparent, and accountable. And Concept 6 says very clearly that we can't reach our spiritual aim unless we're first an effective business operation. It doesn't say spend all the money and God will provide. It does not say that. It doesn't say God will take care of AA. It basically says God will take care of us and we have to take care of AA. But spending more money, I always give this example. If you sit down with a sponsee and you're in a diner or you're at your kitchen table and that sponsee says, I got wicked money problems. And you're like, well, tell me about them. And my experience in Alcoholics Anonymous is most money problems are the same. It usually involves that the person spends more money in a month than they take in. They're usually not very complicated, the money problems that I come across in Alcoholics Anonymous. That person or family, their monthly budget exceeds their revenue. But what I find very interesting about that is in personal first legacy recovery, we call that untreated alcoholism. We call that living in the bedevilments. But yet somehow in AA service, we think we're doing God's work if we have a deficit budget or if we spend more money than we take in. I don't know why we have a different standard for our sponsees than our fellowship. But I see areas across the country that plan to spend more money than they take in. Like that is some spiritual act of kindness. Now, if you have a prudent reserve that is over the top, AA's had to do that in 2001 and 2002. We cut the price of the big book by a dollar, and we scheduled to lose $600,000 each of those 2 years. Because the reserve fund was way overfunded. But I don't run into too many areas whose reserve funds are overfunded these days. Bill was very clear. You have to have an effective business operation to reach your spiritual aim. Concept 7, the charters and bylaws of the General Service Board. I'm sorry, the conference recognizes a chief initiative and active responsibility in most world service matters. Should be enacted by the General Service Board. I want to read Concept 8. The trustees are the principal planners and administrators of overall policy and finance. They have custodial oversight of the separately incorporated and constantly active services, exercising their ability to elect all the directors of these entities. That sounds kind of complicated, but I'm going to try and make it uncomplicated. This is the AA grapevine. That's AA World Services. This is the 21 trustees. That concept says that the trustees' most important decision is exercising their right of decision in electing the directors of these two boards. They don't micromanage. They are supposed to make sure that they elect the right people to be serving as directors on those boards. Good service leadership at all levels is indispensable for our future functioning and safety. Primary World Service leadership, once exercised by the founders, must necessarily be assumed by the trustees. All I can tell you is to plead you to read the narrative of Concept 9 that has some of the best language about leadership, the essay about the conference, the qualities of being a leader, which some people don't like. The four qualities that Bill lists out as being a leader, I get blasted about all the time. But yet Bill left a clear mandate in conference-approved literature of the four qualities that make sure you're a good AA leader. Tolerance, flexibility, vision. I have people who tell me that flexibility means you're a sellout, or that tolerance means you're politically correct. But Bill was very clear on those attributes that he lists in Concept 9. And I think more people should give a read. Bill didn't really care if you were selected as a leader as to what you could do for today for AA. He wanted to know what kind of vision you had for AA's future. Do you have the vision to look ahead and know where AA's on a path to go? And can you maybe help turn the tide? Does AA need a kick in the ass? Or do you need to pull the reins back on a horse? But Bill knew that inflexible leaders will never get anything done in Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, did Bill also know there is a place where you have to stand on principle and not change your mind and die on a mountain? Yes, he did. But I always tell people when they get the agenda of the General Service Conference, especially if you are a voting delegate, one of those 94 people, the most important thing to do first, before you start ripping into every agenda item, is you better go through that list and you better find the ones that you're not going to bend on. You better find the ones that you're going to stand on principle. You better find the ones that you're willing to die on that mountain. And those are the ones that you should really dig into and get all the pro and con information you can get. Because the others are probably things you could be flexible and tolerant on. But I assure you, on every agenda, I mean, I forget how many items are on this year's agenda, but probably like 60 or 70 something, I can guarantee you there are 5 items at least on that agenda that the majority of AA has a very strong feeling about, and that there's no room for both of those sides. They don't think there's a room to be flexible. So there is a place where you have to stand and take a stand. Tradition 10, service responsibility should be matched by an equal, Concept 10, an equal service authority with the scope of such authority well defined. This goes back to what I just said. We don't always do a good job in AA of having good, clear job responsibilities in writing. Like, we know what somebody stood for, but can we tell them what their job responsibility is? And have we made it well defined? And have we given them an equal amount of responsibility for the job that they're handling? Sometimes we're very good at that. Other times we're the worst micromanagers in the world. It's a wonder why we even elect trusted servants in some places. It seems like every single decision they make, it's like, you know, a lynching party at the assembly for every single decision, forgetting that we exercised the right of decision by electing people we trusted would make the right decisions. Concept 11, the trustees should always have the best committees, corporate directors, executive staffs, and consultants. Composition, qualifications, induction procedures, and the rights and duties will all be the matters of serious concern. As a person who has served as a trustee and on the trustees' nominating committee, to me, no bigger responsibility than deciding who's going to be a trustee after you. No bigger decision for an area delegate as to who's going to be your new regional trustee. Who do you think should be carrying that out? The boards need the best directors. There are three members on each of these corporate boards that are not trustees. These corporate boards, AAWS and AA Grapevine, this board is 21 trustees, but this board is kind of like the big parent who tells you there's a money tree in the backyard, the good parent, let's just say. All the business is done through AAWS and the AA Grapevine. AAWS has four trustees on its board, two employees, and three non-trustee directors who are alcoholics but are expert in some business side, publishing, finance, legal, executive leadership. I was one of those three on AAWS, and then I was a trustee for 4 years and a director at the same time. The trustees have to be given the latitude to bring on the right people. Within a couple of weeks, when is April 1st? Monday? Or is it today? Monday. Within a couple of weeks, the AAWS app is going to appear. It's like within 3 weeks. And you're finally not going to have to go to Safari or whatever search engine you use to bring up AA.org. You're finally going to be able to have an AA.org app that'll bring up the AA website and a whole bunch of other functions. Now, we're only about 12 years behind on this. But thank God we brought some of the right people on AA World Services in the last couple of years, who knew that if we didn't get this done by 2020, 2025, we would become irrelevant in the outside world. If you want to really blow your mind, ask your delegate to get you the last AA.org website report. When you see how many people click a month, I need help with a drinking problem, it will blow your mind. We need to be where people are reaching out for help. Unfortunately, in too many places today, because search engines there's geographic challenges with them. In too many places today, somebody can look for Alcoholics Anonymous and they can get a search engine report where the first 10 hits say they're Alcoholics Anonymous. But when you call that number, they will ask you for an insurance card or what your insurance information is and talk about getting you transported to a treatment facility. we need to make sure that when someone searches for AA, that we're the first thing that comes up. Without getting the right corporate directors and the right people that are in tune with what's going on in the world today on that end, who are also AA members with solid service resumes, who know the traditions. But that's why that's so important. Now, the 12th concept is where the warranties are found. The conference shall observe the spirit of AA tradition, taking care that it never, here we go with the warranties. One, it never become the seat of perilous wealth or power. Two, that sufficient operating funds and a reserve be its prudent financial principle. Three, that it place none of its members in a position of unqualified authority over others. Next, it reaches all important decisions by discussion, vote, and whenever possible, substantial unanimity. That its actions never be personally punitive nor an incitement to public controversy. That it never perform acts of government, and that like the society it serves, it will always remain democratic in thought and action. It makes me crazy when people don't read these and the narratives and the concepts when they take extreme positions, like those that think we shouldn't make money off of literature and that we should only be funded by group contributions. There's no doubt the majority of our funding should come from group contributions, but Bill writes in the 12th concept that some groups are from some areas that are so poor they have no extra money. The way they contribute to GSO is by purchasing literature from GSO. When it says sufficient operating funds and its reserve and reserve be its prudent financial principle, we take that so seriously. The reserve fund is calculated every December. We look back at the last 12 months of costs. We divide that by 12, and we know the monthly cost to keep our operation going if a critical emergency ever happened. We have a guideline of 9 to 12 months. If we go below 9 months, it's time to worry, and we need to probably look at literature pricing. But it's up to us. If it goes above 12 months, it can stay that way for a year, but once that year is over, the board is required to immediately start losing money. That's what happened in 2002. The fourth edition, the first printing of the fourth edition big book cost a dollar less than the last printing of the third edition. And we went to take $600,000 each year out of the budget. Now, I have a view of this. One day when I have some extra dollars, I'll have an artist paint a picture. But if you go to the AAWS board meeting, it happens at the General Service Office. And I always sat on this side of the table, and it's glass, and I could see everyone coming into GSO. And behind me, outside that glass on the 12th floor, is the Hudson River. And you can see across to New Jersey, clear across to as far as you can see, going towards California. And you can see the George Washington Bridge. I believe so strongly in Alcoholics Anonymous. I believe that if we ever ran out of money, I would be able to sit in that office and look out that window, and I would see cars all the way up Riverside Drive, going all the way across the George Washington Bridge, going all the way out to California, not armored cars carrying bags of cash, but cars that probably shouldn't even be able to drive on the road, who came from their you know, sponsor's house and their group and whatever else, that will be just fine. But those warranties are super, super important. And I would suggest, first of all, do not go through the concepts until you go through the traditions. We can't say that enough times. And when people say to me, how can we make it so that more people know about the traditions? I can only give one answer that I've come up with, is that I was taught a long time ago that when someone asks you to be their sponsor, and someone comes up to you, and it's not my job to tell people how to sponsor other people, but the one thing that I was taught, among others, but that is sacred, is a question to ask that person. Are you willing to go to any lengths? Because if you're not, there's a lot of other people who are dying of this disease. And if all you're going to do is blow me off or use me in name only or whatever else, move on to someone else. But I think we need to redefine what going to any lengths means. When I tell someone that, are you willing to go to any lengths, and they say yes, when I say that, it needs to mean that when they're done going through the big book, they're going to go through the 12 traditions. The problem was not created by treatment centers. The problem was created that we have a whole bunch of people in Alcoholics Anonymous who were taken through the big book and then set out. And they're on fire with that new answer like I was, you know. The rest of AA sucks. Come to my home group. We do AA the way the first 100 did. You know, you know that you are setting out someone who is just going to make everybody else miserable for a couple of months because they're so on fire and passionate about Alcoholics Anonymous. But you haven't given them any training wheels. You haven't given them any guidance about the 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. And so we have to make sure, that's what I tell people, what can we do? Let people know that I don't say everybody has to go through the concepts. I'll never say that. But every member of Alcoholics Anonymous, after they go through the big book, should read through the traditions with their sponsor and should get some kind of basic understanding. Otherwise, the problems that we've talked about today are what happens. And then if they want to go through the 12 concepts, so be it. I see all these fancy things, 12 concepts in the workplace, traditions in relationships. I see all these things except for traditions in AA or the 12 concepts in AA service. Like everybody wants to use them everywhere else, because they sell more tapes or they sound better, but no one wants to use them for our very own fellowship, which is super, super important. And like I said, I am a person who has served as a delegate and a trustee who doesn't think everybody needs to go through the service manual or everybody needs to go through the concepts. Of course.
The 12 concepts checklist is a really good publishing that GSO puts out, and I actually suggest it for group inventory, not for actually doing a group inventory as much as it is for learning the 12 concepts as it relates to the group. There was some really cool things that I've learned from listening to Debbie D. Talk about, and again, if you put your name on that list on my clipboard, I can send you this talk, Debbie D. talking about the 12 concepts as it relates to your home group. And for me, that's where I needed to start, because one of the things, my favorite concept to illustrate in my home group is I usually start with concept 10. And one really simple way to talk about concept 10, or actually to even introduce the concepts to my group, is when we have a new coffee maker and they ask me in front of everybody, how many scoops do I put in? I say, well, I don't think that that's in our clear responsibilities for our coffee maker. I think that would be your right of decision. Concept 10. And then I get to say, and then they go, oh, well, what if I do too much? And I'm like, well, then somebody might show up to the business meeting and vote, and we might have a more defined responsibility list. But until we have one scoop of coffee in your clear definition of your responsibilities, then it's your right of decision. Make strong coffee. Make weak coffee. If somebody doesn't like it, they can stand for your position, or they can show up to their home group business meeting and make a more distinctive service position description. And so there's some tools like that that you can help your group start to learn the concepts in without even, like, just kind of tricking them into learning the concepts.
But the difference is, a group can survive without the concepts.
Yeah.
So all these fancy speakers who are making all these tapes that have never served in general service, a group can survive with just the traditions. The General Service Board, the General Service Conference, and area assemblies cannot survive without the concepts. They cannot survive without them. And that's a huge difference. It's why I can't stand all these other tapes. I know other people feel differently, but it just cheapens the concepts that I'm not going to worry how they apply to AA World Services, so I'm just going to make my own version. And they weren't written that way. They're not written that way in AA Comes of Age. They're not written that way by Bill. They're just people who have created their own version of the concepts that are taken way out of context.
And traditions, too. A couple of years ago, I was at this conference where Billy was speaking, but also Bob Dee was speaking. And Bob Dee's topic was ending loneliness using the 12 traditions. And at dinner before, like, the speaker dinner, I was sitting next to Bob, and I said, I'm a little disappointed. I mean, to be quite honest with you, ending loneliness using the 12 traditions, why would you? And he's like, okay, Carrie, he said, okay, I'm gonna tell you something. The first thing that you need to know, when asked to speak, you say yes, and then you talk about whatever the hell you want. And I'm like, what? And the first thing that he said into the microphone, at the podium the next day, and I can send you this if you want, is they said, and next we have Bob Dee from Las Vegas talking about the 12 traditions to end loneliness or whatever. And he gets up to the podium and he says, this is such a stupid topic. And then he shared on the 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. And yes, of course they end loneliness, but when using them applied to your home group, because your home group is what ends loneliness in Alcoholics Anonymous. So I just, real quick, because he said something about getting people to go through the traditions. One of the things that I've noticed, and I've heard this other speakers say this before, is the people who normally show up for a tradition workshop, which I love you guys, and especially, I mean, seeing you at your home group last night and now here again today and taking notes, and oh my goodness, you have a mini big book and 12 and 12, and you are the reason that I'm here. People who show up for a tradition workshop generally are people who don't need a tradition workshop. It's everybody else, you know, who doesn't show up. So last night I was at a meeting and somebody asked what I was doing in town, and I said, well, I'm going to be at this workshop tomorrow. And, oh, workshop, where is it? What is it? And as soon as I said traditions, he says, oh yeah, I'm sure I have anything other to do than that. You know, and so I've heard that the how to get some people to a tradition workshop is call it sex in AA or anything but the 12 traditions, because it's not a sexy topic. But, you know, the reason I'm so interested is because I have a purebred daughter. Her dad and I are both alcoholic, and I truly believe that my great-great-grandkids might need the same amazing chance at sobriety that I had coming into this fellowship, and it needs to stay the same for the alcoholic not yet born as it was for me. So I want to just thank all of you guys for being here and caring enough and loving Alcoholics Anonymous enough to come in and actually be willing and open enough to look at something from an entirely different angle, because it's not easy. It's not a fun workshop. These things are kind of boring, but I love people who love Alcoholics Anonymous and people who aren't afraid to put Alcoholics Anonymous before the way that they're perceived to other people. And that takes a lot of love. So thank you.
So that's it. We're all good. Very great to be here. Thank you. You have a question? Did I only say three? Tolerance, vision, flexibility, responsibility.
Responsibility.
Yeah.
This guy, he's my favorite.
Yeah. Because there's an old example. It's a math equation. Vision plus tolerance plus flexibility equals responsibility. Lack of vision, no tolerance, inflexibility equals irresponsibility. There's a past trustee who used to say that all the time. You're welcome. Thank you. We could close in the usual manner.